This is the Patriots All 22 podcast on the CLNS Media Network, the leading online provider of audio video coverage for the five-time Super Bowl champion New England Patriots.
Welcome into a new edition of the Patriots All 22 podcast powered by the CLNS Media Podcast Network. You can follow us on Twitter at PatsAll22. Also, go give us a review on iTunes. We work hard for you guys, so go tell us how great we are on iTunes and give us some reviews, one star, five star, whatever you want to give. But I am Evan Lazar, joined as always by Adam Kirchen. And Adam, obviously the Patriots are back in the Super Bowl. It seems kind of unbelievable based off of not the Patriots' history, obviously, but based off of what we were talking about just a few months ago about this team, that this is where we are. But I wanted to start the show with some stats that I've dug up already on this matchup and kind of get your impressions of it and start a discussion from there on that. And the first thing I think that really stands out to me, at least, about this matchup is obviously the interior of the Patriots offensive line versus Aaron Donald and Ndamukong Suh. I think that that's going to be the most talked about matchup of this entire game. And really, I think what it stems from is a narrative that the numbers actually back up, and that is that Brady doesn't do well with interior pressure. His passer rating drops to 63.1 against interior pressure versus 118 when that pressure comes off the edge. Discuss that. That's a pretty big difference there.
Yeah, it is. And I think that, you know, you probably have that sort of breakdown for most QBs. When you're not able to step up in the pocket, you're really in bad shape. The one thing I'll say, though, is as good as Donald and Sue are, these interior three players for the Pats have played really well this season. You know, Shaq and David Andrews and Joe Tooney. It's been, I think, you know, their development this season has really you know, coincided with how well they played in the last, you know, two games, especially. You know, the offensive line, I think, of the Patriots has become one of the best units in the league, and it's in no short order due to, you know, those three guys. You know, I've always felt that Andrews is one of the, you know, the most technically sound offensive linemen in the league, regardless of position. And obviously, you know, Mason is just a force in the run game. And, you know, I think, you know, you look at these two guys, Donald and Sue, you know, they can move around. They can get pressure from really anywhere. And it's one of those things where this is going to be the biggest sort of, in my opinion, it's such a strength on strength matchup, that no one side is going to dominate the other. It's going to be, there's going to be times when Donald's going to get through and get to Brady. There's going to be times when, you know, there's a stalemate. There's going to be times when, you know, the Patriots linemen, you know, gain an advantage. It's all these players involved are too good for one side or another to gain a, you know, a true dominant advantage throughout the whole game. I think it's just going to be something that, you know, you know, both ends are going to find success, and, you know, you're just going to have to sort of minimize the damage.
Yeah, it's going to definitely be a heavyweight bout, you know, trading blows back and forth. One rep, Donald might win. The next rep, the interior might win. But I think the good news is when there is an interior rusher, even if it's a guy that's as good as Aaron Donald, when a guy's on the interior, it's much easier to double him than if he's an edge guy. And even though you can chip with running backs and you can chip with tight ends, a lot of those edge guys are going to get 20 to 25 reps that they're just one-on-one with the tackle. And there's really nothing that you can do about that schematically. Whereas on the interior, you can almost always have two guys on Aaron Donald. You know, one of those with Andrews and one of those other guys, whether it's Shaq or Joe Tooney, they can almost always be doubling Aaron Donald. Now the question is can the other guy win the one-on-one against Sue? And that's obviously easier said than done. And in terms of the numbers that I'll read again, 118 versus edge pressure and 63.1 versus interior pressure for Tom Brady. I also think a big part of that is that the edge pressure gets there, or the interior pressure, excuse me, gets there a lot faster. And you can't kind of mitigate it with that 2.2, 2.3 time to release. An edge guy's got to go all the way around. especially with these big tackles. You got to go all the way around Trent Brown. That's going to take some time. And that's, you know, where Tom Brady is able to get rid of the football. So when you go against a guy like a Joey Bosa or Dee Ford, it's much easier to kind of mitigate those guys by just getting rid of the ball quickly. Whereas with Aaron Donald, he beats a tackle or he beats one of the guards or beats one of the centers. He's in the backfield, you know, in under 2 seconds because it's such a short, you know, straight line to the quarterback. The other thing I wanted to, you know, touch on with this is running the football, because we're going to talk about this a little bit later on in the show. We're going to kind of recap a little bit of the Chiefs AFC Championship game, just because it was such a great game and we haven't really been able to talk about it. But I think the biggest thing is, can they run the football up middle against these two guys? And in the regular season, teams ran all over the Rams. The Rams were 32nd in the league in yards per carry, but they've really turned it around against the Saints and the Cowboys, averaging, I think, around 2.3 yards per carry allowed in the playoffs. Much different run defense. To me, I want to get your opinion on this, running away from those guys seems to be the best formula, where maybe this is a big game where the Patriots are running on the perimeter for a lot of this game. Some of those outside tosses to Michelle, or those stretch handoffs, or even jet sweeps, I think are going to be a big part of this game with Cordarrelle Patterson and Julian Edelman. I'm just begging Josh McDaniels to make Marcus Peters tackle Cordarrelle Patterson because I'll take my chances against that a lot more than I'm going to take Sony Michelle up right at Aaron Donald.
Yeah, it seems like I think the real key is more than one or the other is to just be as you show as much variety as possible. Don't get in any predictable rhythms, whether it's power runs or stretch runs or anything. Just to, mix it up as much as possible. I think that's one of the real strengths of this rushing attack that the Patriots have, is that, they don't just do one thing and they don't just do one thing well. Certain games, like those little tosses out to Patterson work, and sometimes they don't, and then they'll go to, Michelle inside or something like that. I think they're having all those, different tools to work with is really a positive. So, I would show early, if I were the Patriots, I would show a lot of things. I wouldn't just go one thing or the other. But I do think with the Patriots, even as good as the Rams are on the interior, some of those ISOs and power runs with Devlin are such a, they're so effective right now, that I think you have to go with those again. I think, Devlin's, play this season, especially these last few games, has been such a positive for the Patriots running game. And I wonder even if it's been so positive that it's going to force other teams down the line to reevaluate their thoughts on using fullbacks, because it's been so effective, Devlin.
Yeah, it's such a great example of zigging when everybody else is zagging, because all these defenses are putting these nickel and dime and six DB packages on the field, and and Belichick and McDaniels are just like, fine, if you're going to put six DBs on the field, we're going to put two tight ends and a fullback on the field. Right. We're going to ram it right down your throat. And the good news is that we still have Julian Edelman and we still have Rob Gronkowski, and our running backs are pretty versatile too and catch the ball out of the backfield. So when you start creeping up in the running game, then we're going to hit you with play action. Right. And now that's how that kind of works off of it. And I think that's both of these offenses, even though the Rams don't use a fullback, are so good at the play action passing game by marrying those concepts to the running concepts that they use. The Rams, it's mostly like their outside zone with bootleg play action, like what you see with like all the Kyle Shanahan offenses. And with the Patriots, it's like, those gap schemes that they run, like wham schemes and ISO and stuff like that, getting those to look like their runs, and then they run the play action and it just displaces those linebackers, and there's just so much room behind it to throw the ball, and you have two great guys over the middle in Gronk and Edelman that just can kill teams at that intermediate level over the middle, and it's just like a perfect marriage. All right, the next one here is kind of along these lines, and that is that the Patriots offense was third in the NFL and DVOA in passing to the middle of the field, as you would probably expect. And this Rams defense was 28th in the NFL in defending the middle of the field. So you have this is the one that favors the Patriots, right? You know, you have a matchup where the Patriots, especially against, some of those linebackers, the Rams only really play one true linebacker. It's Corey Littleton. He's really their only true linebacker. And then Mark Barron is their other linebacker. And we know all about him from college at Alabama. He's more of like a safety linebacker hybrid type.
Right. Yeah. It was funny. How, you know, I guess this dips back into the Chiefs game a little bit, but, you know, how well the Patriots were able to work the middle of the field when they really, really needed to against the Chiefs.
Yeah. And well, so, when Bob Sutton leaves the thing wide open, you know.
Yeah. So I kind of feel like that should be there again, you know, against the Rams. And, it's kind of funny how after all this time, Edelman's still the guy.
Yeah.
You know, when you need a big play over the middle, Edelman's still there and he's still reliable and he's still picking up these big first downs just to extend drives that, you know, make big plays. So, I think that'll be there again. I'm not sure, you know, situationally when they're going to go for it, if it's going to be one of those things where they just rely on it on third down and long and, but it really is their best. It really is their best bet given the personnel that they have. It is to use it like that. I don't think the Rams necessarily can stop that for four quarters. But, like we said, going back to what we talked about earlier, it's, you know, to me, the whole Rams defense against this passing game is predicated upon being able to get that pressure up the middle. And, if they can get it, then it sort of forces Brady just right out of his comfort zone. And like we were saying, it's – so any quarterback, if you can't step up in the pocket, you just have fewer windows to throw through. And you can't really step into your throws, and it just sort of throws everything off. So I do feel like that the Patriots can hurt the Rams over the middle of the field. Now, whether or not they go to that early or whether, that's predicated on down and distance, I'm not sure. But I think, it's something we'll find out pretty early on.
Yeah, I think the interesting thing is for me is that this is a chess match between Wade Phillips and Josh McDaniels, because Wade Phillips has faced this Patriots offense 9 times already in his career. It always hasn't gone well for Phillips, and it always hasn't gone well for the Patriots. I mean, the 2015 AFC Championship game is obviously kind of the big one that stands out, and obviously much better Denver defense than this Rams defense, but still – Wade Phillips knows what Tom Brady likes to do. You know, he knows what the Patriots offense likes to do. If it was me, and I'm assuming that this is what Wade is going to do, the middle of the field is going to be the focus of the game plan.
Right.
You would have to think defensively, they're going to load the middle of the field. They're going to play a lot with kind of that robber safety right at that 8 to 12 yard range that's kind of in the middle, taking away the crossers and the posts and from the slot alignment from Edelman and all that kind of stuff. That's not what the Chiefs did, and that's why Bob Sutton is out of a job. that's really what it boils down to. So even though the stats say that this is going to be a favorable situation for the Patriots are going to have to get creative in ways to make it so that Tom Brady can go to the middle of the field. But the other thing, that I think favors the Patriots is even though the Rams have had some success against running backs because Barron's a pretty good coverage player in those situations, Alvin Kamara absolutely killed them in that NFC Championship game. He had 11 catches for 96 yards in the NFC Championship game. And a lot of those routes were similar routes. You could see James White running, out of the backfield. So I think this is an opportunity for the Patriots here to throw kind of behind those guys on the defensive line. And really, I think the biggest key for the Patriots is to kind of use that interior rush and that interior penetration against them. You know, a lot of draw plays, a lot of screen passes, get guys coming up the field and then run to the perimeter and get it away from those guys. And then all of a sudden you can kind of have a situation where when you do have to drop back and pass the ball, whether it's play action or whether it's traditional drop back, they're kind of, you know, stuck in a rut of, you know, are they just going to dump it off on a screen pass or are they going to run it, you know, on a draw play? And you kind of can confuse them that way and kind of slow them down a little bit that way. So I think the middle of the field, obviously, too, you really get the ball out quicker when you're going to throw to the middle versus try to do something on the perimeter. And that's obviously not a strength of the Patriots. So I think it's good news. All right. The last thing here on the defensive side of the ball for the Rams and the offense for the Patriots is that over the second half of the season, this kind of coincides with Aqib Talib's injury and him being out of the lineup. The Rams were a predominantly cover three zone team. And that's not Wade Phillips' MO. You know, he's a man coverage guy. But because Marcus Peters was their number one corner and he's more like that ball hawk type corner, they went to a zone scheme to kind of fit their personnel. Now, my question is are they going to stick with that? Or are they going to realize that playing zone, especially cover three against Tom Brady, is a bad idea? And now with Talib back, you can kind of have a number one corner that's a very good man corner.
Yeah, I think – I don't think they'll sit in cover three. I think that, you know, it's one of those deals where with Talib back, you know, they're gonna want to challenge the Patriots on the outside as much as possible. When I think back to the game plan they had or Phillips had with the Broncos back in what was 2016, the championship
year. 2015,
2016. What I noticed that game, and I think you remember too, is they were able to force a lot of, low percentage, sort of deeper balls to the running back that game. But the thing about that game was that, you know, the Broncos were pressuring Brady constantly.
Yeah.
You know, that was, and so, you know, it, so I don't know if they have the same type of, you know, personnel to do that in this game, or, you know, I really doubt that the Patriots offensive line will be, you know, under siege as much as it was in that game. But I kind of feel like, you know, Phillips is going to do whatever, he's going to try to mix it up and try to keep it from being a predictable game plan against the Patriots. He's not going to want to have the Patriots come in sort of knowing what he's coming for and stuff. So I don't think he's going to sit in the zone. I don't think he's going to have a cover three scheme. I think he's going to be more man based, and it's going to be more about, like you said, having a robber over the middle of the field and trying to take away that stuff. But overall, I don't think, you know, like I said, I think it just keeps coming back to pressure. You know, I keep feeling like if, you know, Phillips is going to do everything he can to just get Brady out of his comfort zone when it comes to pressure, you know, make him sort of indecisive, make him sort of think about what he's looking at. And, you know, Brady is the best in the world when it comes to identifying what, you know, the defense is giving him pre-snap. But, you know, I think the whole name of the game for Phillips in this one is going to be, you know, creating pressure and sort of trying to get Brady sort of confused pre-snap so he has to sort of hold on to the ball that extra split second longer.
Yeah, I think the interesting thing about it is, because I agree with you that I just don't see there being a chance that Phillips sits in the zone. I just think he knows that that's going to really be too easy. You saw exactly, he's going to watch the tape from the Chargers game, especially where they played so much zone, and just be like, this isn't going to work. You know, McDaniels is really good at covering or calling a lot of zone beaters against those cover threes, and Brady just carves it up. So I think that he's going to realize that. But then, and this is true, we're going to talk about this in a second, on the other side of the ball too, who matches up with who? You know, because there's not really a clear matchup for each guy. Now, I think that Aqib Talib matching up against Gronk is probably where it's going to go, especially when Gronk is in the slot or out wide. Maybe not so much when he's in line. But who is on Julian Edelman? Because Marcus Peters is not the type of guy you want to put on Julian Edelman in man coverage, especially with his issues with eye discipline and stuff like that. He's going to be looking in at the backfield trying to pick off Brady, and Edelman's going to be gone. But they do have Nick Roby-Coleman, who's like their slot corner, predominantly kind of like a Jonathan Jones type, who might have a chance at covering Edelman in the slot. But when he goes outside, Coleman doesn't usually travel with guys outside. So it's an interesting for both sides who covers who. There's not really like an obvious matchup. Like for Gilmore, for example, there's not an obvious matchup for Stephon Gilmore in this game. There's no Sammy Watkins, you know, there's no guy that you can say, okay, he fits that mold perfectly. So I'm very interested to see how they match up in the man coverage. And also, you know, Phillips is not a blitzer. He's a guy that's going to rush four and drop seven, and that's kind of always been a formula that has worked against Tom Brady. So this is going to be a very big game, I think, for Brady and McDaniels to kind of find ways to get guys open against the defense that's going to pretty much know exactly what's coming, or at least know your tendencies very well because of how much experience Phillips has against them. That and the interior pressure, and just one more point on the interior pressure, ball security for Brady in the pocket is going to be mad. It's okay if you have to punt. You know, just don't fumble. And obviously we know that, you know, how it ended in the last Super Bowl with a Brady strip sack. So it's a huge, huge thing in the game is punting is okay, turnovers are not in a game like this. So protecting the ball in the pocket is going to be really big too. And one more thing, let's not also forget, we want to mention Dante Fowler. He was a really good player and gave the Patriots all sorts of trouble in the AFC Championship game last year when he was a member of the Jaguars. Sometimes you're so focused on that interior pressure that you give Fowler too many chances one-on-one on a Marcus Cannon or a Trent Brown, and that one extra time that you do it is the time that he bites you.
Yeah, he's a beast. Yeah, and he's another one of those guys up front that you have to worry about. God, I did forget about him actually. He always finds a way to make at least one big play a game. It seems like so. You know, that's going to be a fun matchup to watch with him and Trent Brown. But it's one of those things where you look at this defensive line and it's, you know where do you concentrate from down to down? It's sort of it's going to change. You know, you can't stay on one. You can't double the same guy every time. You can't put the same amount of concentration on the same guy every time. It's going to have to rotate. And I think, like you said, like draw a screen, stuff like that are really going to have to be part of the game plan, because if you just drop back straight, every time and give these guys a chance to pin their ears back, you're in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, it's one of those games for the Patriots offense where I think there's going to be holes in the secondary for Tom Brady to make plays downfield. I think these corners and the safeties especially are susceptible in this Rams defense, but you're going to have to protect them in order to make it happen. So it's one of those game plans where you certainly are going to have to protect Brady and keep him upright, and then I think he can make plays. All right, let's move over to the other side of the ball, because this is where Sean McVay comes into play with the offense of the Rams and one of the better offenses in the league. And I think the biggest thing from a stats poll point of view is that the Rams are an 11 personnel team. There are three wide receiver, one tight end, one running back 96% of the time, which is just wild. So they don't run any two tight end sets. There's no fullback on the field. There's no four wide receiver packages. This is all three wide receiver stuff. Now, with that said, the Patriots have really struggled with stopping the run out of three wide receiver, because they have to put nickel or dime defenses on the field, and those smaller defenses have struggled in the past with stopping the run. That was a big problem in that Pittsburgh game. The Patriots matched Pittsburgh a lot of the time with nickel and dime, and the Steelers averaged 8 yards a carry with their 11 personnel on the field. So I think that all of the things that the Rams offense do kind of stem from their running game. Right. A lot of that outside zone and wide zone stuff kind of builds off of that, the bootleg play actions and getting Goff on the move and opening those bigger passing lanes for Goff, because he can sometimes be a little bit erratic.
Yeah, and what I'm curious about is to which running back the Rams are gonna,
Yeah.
end up riding in this game, because it's been kind of funny how this playoffs, it hasn't been Todd Gurley,
No.
it's been Anderson. And so I it obviously the more talented guy is Gurley. I mean, physically there's nobody close to him in this game as a running back, but still Anderson's was effective, and he's like a bowling ball out there, and he can really get it going. And especially if you're going up against a defense that is a little lighter in the pants, you get a guy like that, he's just a he'll run right over you. But Gurley, I'm curious to see, why exactly he hasn't been as much of a part of the game plan. I don't expect him to be, sort of a bit player in this game like he's been in some of these other games, though. He's just too good, and when you have a player of his talent, in a game like this, you want him on the field. So, I'm curious to see how they use those guys. Gurley is such a dangerous player. He's so fast. He's so big. He's physical. So I'm curious to see how that plays out. But yeah, I think. But on the plus side for the Pats, when it comes to defending those running backs, Van Noy is playing his best football maybe ever. So if he can be a factor in that respect, then that then you like what you have. But I mean, there's definitely a concern. We were just talking about the Patriots offensive line. This Rams offensive line's also just been dominant.
Yeah, it's a very good example of a both offensive lines have a ton of talent, and then they also have great schemes. They have great blocking schemes and great coaching them up. The Rams have been, they've ran a little bit more inside with CJ Anderson than they do with Gurley. A little bit more inside zone, allowing them to go versus really trying to get him out on the perimeter and let him use his speed. And I think the biggest thing that Sean McVay actually said this the other day, the reason why they've gone with Anderson a little bit more in the playoffs is so that they can run it more in between the guards and run it more up the middle against some of these defenses. He almost said that he's a little bit more versatile with Gurley than Gurley, which I found really surprising. And I think the biggest thing for the Patriots is they're going to have to be able to stop the run with in a nickel defense, and that's a big thing with, for Patrick Chung, obviously, is going to be a big part of that. And the linebackers are going to be a big part of that too. And one thing that just, from a schematic standpoint, that ruins outside zone, which is what their whole offense is based off of, is early and quick penetration. So I would expect to see a lot of run blitzes from the second level. Guys like Alandon Roberts and Kyle Van Noy just not letting those things get outside and just going right into the backfield. The Patriots are not a one-gapping team, as we know, but that's going to be something that they're going to have to do from the second level, or they're going to have to change their tendencies, which I doubt they will on the defensive line. So early penetration. The other thing I wanted to, bring up here, passing and catching the ball out of the backfield for Todd Gurley could be a big problem for the Patriots in this game. We saw what Damian Williams did in the second half of the AFC Championship game. And Gurley is the type of guy that can really kill you. They do a lot of different things in the passing game with him. They can flex him out wide and have him run basically as a receiver. They throw screen passes to him out of the backfield. He's the type of guy that could really haunt them.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that's so big, he's so, tough to bring down once he gets to the second level. And he gets a head of steam on him, and it's just like guys are bouncing off him, and he's got great footwork and vision, everything. He's as talented of a back as there gets. So yeah, obviously McVay, is going to find ways to get these guys the ball in space. He's going to find ways to get these ball get the ball in these guys' hands for them to best do damage. And I feel like you said, you can't let the running game get going. So these run blitzes with Roberts and Van Noy, should be a big part of the game plan. But I think that those two guys in particular have started to play really well in the playoffs. And so, I think you know, there's some hope for Patriots fans there. But I don't think, again, this is going to be one of those deals where the Patriots are going to completely shut down the run or the Rams are going to completely run it all over them. It's going to be sort of a ping pong match between the two. And, you know, if the Patriots are able to at least hold them off for a stretch of the game, a quarter here, a quarter there, then you'll take that.
Yeah, absolutely. And to that point, Kyle Van Noy, if you're into Pro Football Focus grades, he's the top graded linebacker in the playoffs right now. And wow. if Landon Roberts, if he didn't play so few snaps, he played 17 against Kansas City, but he hasn't played a ton, he would probably be in one or two in that list as well. He's just played very well. I know Patriots fans kind of have this stigma against Landon Roberts because of some of the things that he did over the last couple of years in coverage. But he, over the last 3 weeks, going back to week 17 against the Jets, has been an elite level player, according to PFF. And take that as you will, but it's pretty shocking, honestly, to see that those two guys, especially Landon Roberts, turning around as quickly as they have. All right, in the secondary, I think, you know, I hit on it when we were talking about this with the Rams. I can't for the life of me figure out the matchups in this one. You know, the Patriots are obviously going to be a man team most of the time. They'll probably sprinkle in some zone, but they've been man about 75% of the time all season long. So I doubt they're going to go too far away from that. But when you start with Stephon Gilmore at the top, is Brandon Cooks really the type of guy that he covers? And Josh Reynolds, obviously the other option, and Robert Woods is their third guy. And those three guys play basically 90 to 100% of the snaps.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be Gilmore on Cooks. I think it could be. I don't see that as being the case because, I mean, Cooks isn't really a big guy, and you'd want to use Gilmore's size on a sort of bigger guy. So even though Cooks is – he's a good receiver and all that stuff, I just don't think he's I think Cooks is a good receiver. I don't think he's – but, you know, such – you know, far and away their best receiver or anything like that.
Robert Woods is a really good player too.
Yeah, so I think I'd rather see Gilmore on Woods.
I think even though Woods moves in and out, he's a guy that can play in the slot or on the perimeter. They do that with everybody though, so it's really Gilmore's gonna have to play some in the slot in this game, whether he's on Woods or Cooks or Josh Reynolds. It really isn't gonna matter all that much. The question I have with Cooks is, Do you do what you did against Tyreek Hill when you put Jonathan Jones in that trail coverage with the safety help over the top? Or is this a game where you still put safety help over the top of Cooks? Because I don't think anybody should really be taking him on an island too often. But J.C. Jackson's the type of guy that can be really physical at the line of scrimmage and is a really good press corner. And then he's got great ball tracking skills on deep balls. So I wonder if that's a nice matchup for the Patriots. I don't know if J.C. Jackson has the speed to match up with Cooks, but a lot of what they do with Cooks is different from what they do with Tyreek Hill in Kansas City, where it's not as much deep overs and deep crossing routes and all that kind of stuff. It's a lot more, like we saw with him here, a lot more go balls, you know, a lot more just straight line speed stuff. And when you have a guy that's as good at tracking the ball in the air as J.C. Jackson, that might be helpful, as well as being, you know, I think we know as well with Cooks that if you get in his face and you jam him at the line of scrimmage, it can tend to, you know, hurt his play as well.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think you know Jackson is good at, you know, being physical. Some people, you know, would say he's sometimes too physical when he
you kind of live with the flags with him.
Yeah, but yeah. But I do agree there. Like if you match him up against Cooks, that's a sort of a favorable in terms of a strength standpoint, because, you know, Jackson's, you know, stronger than him at the point of the, or not the point of the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that would work. I do think you have to, you know, be mindful over the top with Cooks wherever he goes.
And he's great at drawing pass interference penalties too. Yeah. So that worries me with JC, because he's the type of guy that is great at that. I look at it and I kind of see, like, if it's not broke, don't fix it. And Jonathan Jones with Devin McCourty over the top basically took Tyreek Hill out of that game. And even though they're different receivers, and I think Tyreek Hill's speed is a little bit different, that notch slightly above Cooks' speed, as fast as Cooks is. Right. It worked in that matchup. And then you put, you know, JC on Reynolds and Woods with Gilmore on an island, and you just kind of roll the safety towards Cooks. That worked against that one. I think the biggest thing is is for McVay. He is great at, he condenses the formation a lot. There's a lot of tight formations, negative splits inside, and those bunch sets and stacks. A lot of pick plays, a lot of crossing routes and running with guys across the middle of the field, and that can create a ton of traffic. That's what he's trying to do, right? Misdirection and traffic is kind of his middle name. So when you play a lot of man coverage against that, it can open you up to getting picked off, you know, in the middle of the field and not being able to run through all that mesh, you know, nonsense. And then you got guys wide open.
Yeah. And that's, you know, that brings up scar tissue for Patriots fans, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Crossing routes and stuff like that.
Well, that's this offense, you know, whether you want to admit it or not, this offense is misdirection. It's bootleg play action. It's crossing routes over the middle to kind of create and intertwine those guys in those tight formations. And if you ask me, all of that kind of lends itself to a zone coverage, you know, where you're not necessarily chasing guys in man. And I know that people hear that and they're like, oh, the Patriots are so much better against when they're in man coverage and versus zone coverage. And they get, you know, they get beat in zone, but it's almost better to give up a little bit in zone than it is to be giving up 60-yard touchdowns because somebody gets picked off on a route. And we saw that in the second half against Kansas City too. That's kind of what they went to, was all out of those pick concepts.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, that doesn't leave you with any good, easy answers, does it? I mean,
no, it really doesn't.
Because this team is just not, But I agree, you know, like if you're going to pick your poison, you don't want to be in man when those routes are being run at all.
Because the other kind of option is obviously just to jam everybody at the line of scrimmage and not even let those routes happen. But, you know, you're good in today's NFL. This isn't 20 years ago when they did that against the greatest show on turf and you could just maul people at the line of scrimmage.
Right.
So, you know, you're going to get flagged. You only have a couple of yards there to even do that kind of 5-yard limit. Then all of a sudden there's penalty flags all over the place.
Right. Yeah. I think it'll be something that they feel out, and it'll be an adjustment mid game as to what eventually they find works, you know, like, I think that's something that they're going to just have to figure out as the game goes along.
Yeah. I think the pattern match coverages might be a big part of this as well. Just matching the stuff that goes vertical on the perimeter while passing it off if it goes horizontal in a zone, more like a zone look. It's an interesting kind of chess match on both sides of the ball. Two great coaching staffs too. We're going to have plenty of time to break this one down. We still have over a week still from the game. So let's go back to the AFC Championship game. Adam, we had a lot of takeaways, obviously, from what was one of the best football games I've ever been to, probably the best football game I've ever been to. And there was a lot more excitement, I think, in the locker room from getting a win like that, in that type of win in overtime too, that I think a lot of people expected with the Patriots, who have had so much success. And to see the players as excited as they were after just winning the AFC Championship and not winning a Super Bowl, it was like they won the Super Bowl a little bit. And that's not to say that they're not going to be ready for the Super Bowl. I'm just saying that it was a little bit like that. And I think that a lot of it had to do with the fact that they were playing on the road in Kansas City, where they haven't done well, and everybody was picking against them. And they heard all that noise. But from a X's and O's standpoint, defensively, we want to talk about the first half performance. We know it came off the rails a little bit there in the fourth quarter, but to shut out that team and hold them to 32 yards of offense and through two quarters in the first half of that game probably won the Patriots this game.
Yeah, exactly. I think that even though they gave up a ton of points, like you said, the fact that they had them shut out in the first half, that's why they won.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, even everything happened in the second half and overtime was a big deal. I agree. But, you know, like, that offense is so dangerous, you know, to shut them out for just one half. It just gave the Patriots some breathing room. And it was, the Patriots were creative on defense. You know, I feel like, you know, they did everything they could to make the Chiefs have to adjust.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's just enough to get you through. And I think that's really what they did. And, you know, it's just a kudos to the defensive game plan. You know, obviously in the second half they had a hard time making stops, but
yeah,
you know, they had that they had that lead to work with, which really was the difference.
Yeah, after the game, Patrick Mahomes flat out said they came out and they played aggressive man coverage against us, and not a lot of teams have had the balls to do that this year. So they just weren't really ready for it, and a lot of teams have played zone coverage against the Chiefs because they're not going to trust their guys to go one-on-one with Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce and Sammy Watkins, and it was just too dangerous. Then you also factor in that Mahomes can run, and you play man coverage, and everybody's backs to the quarterback, and that kind of opens you up. I think that was really where it started. As good as the coverage was on the back end and the game plan to double Tyreek Hill, I thought that the ability to pressure Mahomes while also containing him in the pocket was really kind of what got them through that first half and really won them this game. A lot of really creative stunts and blitzes, but that weren't really blitzes. It was still a lot of 4 and 5 man pressure, but they weren't just rushing 4 against 5 the entire game straight up. They were doing a lot of twists and games on the inside. They were moving guys around. They were using Kyle Van Noy and Dante Hightower as pass rushers, and they were able to just kind of suffocate Mahomes. Yeah. And that was really the game plan, and the execution of that pass rush and the coordination was just spectacular.
Yeah, I think one of the things that I thought they did well was they rushed smart. They didn't just run. You know, like they
– integrity was amazing.
Yeah, exactly. I think that was their whole goal, was because if you rush Mahomes and he sort of slips through the side – and you get scramble rules, then game over, right?
Yeah.
And you saw some of that.
Yeah.
It wasn't as much. Like, usually that happens all the time against the Chiefs. But he wasn't able to really do that in the first half at all. So, you know, it takes, you know, the whole team sort of being on the same page and keeping him within this little box to make sure that game plan works. And it's very difficult to pull off because, you know, Mahomes is so good at finding extra space and extra time and allowing those receivers to, you know, go to space, deep on the other side of the field to make plays.
Like we saw with Sammy Watkins on the big one to Gilmore. That was one of those scramble drill type plays.
Yeah. So, and I thought in the first half, they did just such a great job of keeping those from coming about. So, and I think a lot of teams want to do that against Mahomes. And like, that's what every team said, goes into the game.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, hey, we got to keep him within the pocket. We can't let him scramble and make plays. And then it happens. But it was just really, from an execution standpoint, they really pulled it off in the first half, and I think that's, you know, everything.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing, is that this defense, and a lot of people I think are talking about, okay, well, they gave up 31 in the second half, 24 in the fourth quarter. They gave up 31 points overall in the game. How good of a performance was that really from the defense? And I think that when you look at the tape and you kind of reflect on it, the execution to pull off what is a very dangerous game plan.
Yeah,
like, that's a dangerous game plan to put all of your DBs besides the Tyreek Hill matchup on islands against very talented receivers in Travis Kelce and Sammy Watkins, and then to also rush the heck out of Mahomes and keep him in the pocket while not letting him scramble and throw on the run, and then also covered. I mean, it's a game plan that not a lot of teams are going to have the cojones and the ability to pull off. That's really the point. And the Patriots were able to do it through 3 quarters. And then to the Chiefs' credit, Andy Reid adjusted. They adjusted in the fourth quarter especially, but they really adjusted right out of the half. And they started incorporating Damian Williams in the passing game, which obviously is a vulnerability of the Patriots. And when you're playing that man coverage, somebody is going to be one-on-one that you don't want to be one-on-one against the running back. And the other thing that they did was they started running a bunch of pick plays. And when you play man coverage, that's the man beater. We see the Patriots do it all the time when teams play man coverage against them. And some of them were illegal. I understand that. You know, the big one to Sammy Watkins late in the fourth quarter, I think it was Chris Conley, was blocking his man about 5 or 6 yards down the field. But regardless of that, that was a great adjustment by the coaching staff of the Kansas City Chiefs. So give them credit. And then the other thing is, you're not going to hold Mahomes down forever. Like, no. This guy's the MVP of the league, and he's got all these weapons. At some point in time, he's going to make plays. And other than the pick concepts, he just made some unbelievable hero plays. Like the play, yeah. I know a lot of people want to get on Stephon Gilmore for peeking back on the big one to Sammy Watkins, but that throw, no one else in the league makes that throw.
Right. Yeah.
Maybe I think the only guy that could make that throw is Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
And he's on in the run to his right, across his body, throws it 65 yards on a dime downfield. Yeah. That's not a throw that a lot of people can make.
Yeah.
So when you force the guy into making those types of throws, you've done your job as a defense.
Right.
You know, when you're saying to Patrick Mahomes, the only way that you're going to beat us is if you just big time franchise quarterback throw us all the way down the field. That's what you're supposed to do as a defense. And that's what the Patriots defense did. And to Mahomes' credit, he just made some plays in that second half, as you would probably expect. And it was so much better than the second half in October, where there was just a lot of coverage busts and the Patriots were playing zone and it was getting carved up. This was like Mahomes just put the team on his back and led the Chiefs back into this game. And then late in that final drive, the throw he made to Spencer Ware to get that drive started where they kicked the field goal to send it to overtime was just stupid good. I mean, it's just like there's not a lot of guys are going to be able to make that throw. He's like sidearm going to the sideline, yeah. and there's a guy that's in between him and Spencer Ware, and he like threw it like around the defender, like it like had like a curve to it.
Yeah,
it was like, you know, these are great plays, and so you tip your cap to those. And the Patriots defense did exactly what it wanted to do. It executed the game plan at an extremely high level, and shutting them out in the first half put them down 14 points, and it's what won them the game. It's why they're going to the Super Bowl, other than some of the things that we're going to talk about now at the offense. And I think we need to start with the running game, because with the Chargers and the Chiefs, the Patriots have set the tone early with 8 minutes where they are just out-muscling teams and saying, we're going to run it right down your throat. And Rob Gronkowski said it the other day, the running game has kind of saved them. You know, getting this running game going in the second half of the season is kind of what I don't want to call it their identity, because I think that's overblown, but it's what's made their offense high-powered again.
Yeah, I think, you know, Sony has improved so much. I thought at the beginning of the season when he played well, it was just sort of because the blocking was there.
Yeah.
Whereas I feel like now the blocking will be there, but he'll also see running lanes where he can take extra.
Yeah. You
know? So I really feel like his development has been so key to how well the team has played over this last month. And, you know, he's, you know, his footwork, his vision, his patience, his ability to know when to, you know, put his foot down and go, you know, I think all those things have gotten better. I think he's really adjusted to the pro game. I think he was reading his blocks phenomenally. And I think right now, he's a weapon, whereas at the beginning of the season he was okay when he needed to be, but now he's, you know, this running game really gives you something, and I think it can work in really against any team they play. So I think Sony had a, you know, has had such a big impact, and you know, we both liked him coming out of the draft, but I was still sort of curious as to, you know, whether it would pay off as far as him being picked that high and all that stuff. But
we were almost wrong. We almost changed our minds on him early in the season.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
But you know, his growth, his development as a back has really shown. And I don't think you can really doubt, you know, his impact now.
Yeah, I think, you know, the biggest thing is, and I know that it looks easy. When you watch it, it looks easy because these holes are wide open. But a lot of what he does in terms of his vision, and he actually calls it following his rules. Patriots don't like to use the word vision. Everything is like, you know, about rules and about, you know, this and that and coaching points and that kind of stuff. So what he does so well to me is that the play is designed, let's say, to run behind the left side of the offensive line. And he reads his blocks so well to see that really the bigger hole or the more, you know, the longer run is on the backside. And he has the ability to see that. And a lot of the time what happens is actually because the defensive line is shading in one direction and he's going to read the nose tackle or he's reading the three tech or whatever the run play is calling for. And then he just jumps the gap to the backside and it just goes across the field the other way. And those plays is like the touchdown that I broke down on Twitter against the Chargers, the 14-yarder where he, you know, is supposed to go up the middle and he ends up cutting it to the pylon. They look easy because the gaps are so big, but not a lot of running backs, especially rookie running backs, are seeing those lanes, you know, that are seeing that the blocking, which way the blocking is getting set up and which way, you know, guys are losing leverage or winning leverage and the way the defensive line is playing the running game. When he sees things, the patience and the ability to then hit the hole extremely hard and explode through it, that is the type of stuff that I think is really special about him. And I know that it looks easy, but it really isn't. And a lot of the Patriots players and the Patriots coaches are lauding him for it right now, just his ability to do that. And I think that the other thing, and we're going to talk about the O-line here too, I guess we can segue into it with this. The diversity of this running game is something that I've just been kind of fascinated by over the last month or so of the season. We talked a little bit about it earlier, but the ability to run everything from outside zone to wham to ISO to, you know, they can run anything. They can run any blocking scheme. And that is extremely difficult. Like a lot of the good running games that you see over the course of the league and even in recent NFL history, there's one scheme that's their bread and butter. The right. Patriots do so many things well that like five things are their bread and butter.
Right. Yeah, they really can. And, you know, going back to what we were talking about with Devlin, you know, he's such a, you know, you almost count him as another offensive lineman the way they use him. Sometimes, but like he's so effective and, you never see him like either miss a block or, you know, hit a guy in the wrong spot. You know, it feels like every time he's in the game and he's coming downhill on somebody, he's executing his block just so well. And it feels like, you know, the Patriots are at that point now where you want to be with a running game, where you can use it how you want it and when you want it. And, you know, it's not running when you feel like you have to, but when you want to. And
the ability to just come out in the first quarter right at the top of the game and run the ball right down somebody's throat, that's just like execution and power, right. You know, like, cause that's when the game is close and you know, the running game is going to be a factor still in those types of situations. If you can run the ball in the first quarter, then you're a good running team.
Yeah, and I really feel like those three interior guys are so key. You know, Andrews is so good. You know, Mason obviously, you know, has proven his worth over the years now as, you know, such a good guard in that aspect. You know, he can overpower. These guys are athletic too. You can't run the plays that they run without having athletic offensive linemen. And these guys can step into the right positions up front and they can get to the second level. They can hit moving targets. You know, they really don't really have that many weaknesses really when it comes to executing what the Patriots want to do in the running game. And so that just gives the play caller such amazing flexibility. When you're calling plays out there, you can almost use the whole playbook, you know? Yeah. And so, you know, it's really a testament to how well they work together, you know, and their execution level. It's fun to watch.
Yeah. And you got Dante Scarnecchia leading the way, the champ, just, you know, the coaching and the flawless technique that all these guys have is a testament to their ability as well, but it's also a testament to the coaching. I mean, the schemes, every single guy is doing their job on every single play, and there's so few mental and even physical breakdowns, so many one-on-one matchups lost over these last 2 weeks. It's just pretty remarkable. And talk about the pass protection too here before we move on to the last point. I think a lot of it, and I'm not trying to take away from anything that the offensive line has done, but a lot of it is Tom Brady. To be honest, his ability to get rid of the football in 2.2, 2.3 seconds on average, I mean, it's tough to get home when you're a pass rusher and you know that the ball is coming out in 2.1, 2.15 seconds like it was against the Chargers. You know, there's not a whole lot of guys, unless you just beat your guy clean, that is going to be able to get home in that situation.
This line is I didn't expect it at the beginning of the season to be quite as good as it is now. I mean,
yeah.
It's just, you know, on both running, you know, running the ball, pass protection, all the way through. It's just been, it's developed into, I don't know where it ranks in the league statistically or anything like that, but it's up there, man. I mean, the way they execute in so many different types of plays. It's not just one or two aspects. They're just a completely well-rounded offensive line. They work well together. For Brady to be as clean as he's been in these last few games is something I never would have expected, especially the Chargers game. Now they're going up against this great defensive line. So you just wonder, if they can keep it up. But, I think, given what they've had and given that they, started with a new left tackle this year, I don't think you could really have asked for anything more out of this group.
Yeah, and I talked to Trent Brown about his matchup with D Ford, because you see D Ford and you see Trent Brown and you're like, all right, well, Trent's obviously got the strength and size advantage here, but the ability to stay in front of a guy like Ford who just comes off the edge. We talked about it last week with Seth. He's like shot out of a cannon every single time the ball is snapped. And the way that he just said, you know what, we play a game of angles. So as long as I can get myself back and keep myself in front, in between him and Tom, I know he's not going to bowl me over. So basically all he does is just, he gets a ton of depth because he's 6'8". So he just jumps right out of his stance and he just cuts off the angle on the edge and everybody's just going right by Tom, like waving goodbye, And it's just like his play in pass protection and then also his ability to step up his game and run blocking over in the playoffs. Cause I was tough on him about his run blocking at the end of the regular season. I thought that maybe he got a little bit tired. Maybe that was a factor. I'm not sure, but it wasn't as clean as you would want. But the pass protection of him and Marcus Cannon these last couple of weeks, Cannon going up against Justin Houston in that game, it's spectacular to watch. And obviously they helped out a lot with chips from the running backs and Gronk and stuff like that too. It's a plan, right? Like it's with the Patriots, everything is right now at the offensive line is there's just like a big picture plan to everything. And I think that's what's really cool, because a lot of teams are just like, all right, you got five offensive linemen, go block them. And go do it. And the Patriots don't look at it that way. Everything has got a purpose. Everything is, there's this for that reason or that for this reason. And that is really cool to see too. All right. Before we wrap it up here, I know we're going a little bit long, but we can't.
we can do that now.
Yeah. We can't finish without talking about Brady, Gronk, and Edelman at the end of this game against the Chiefs. And these three guys, all three of them have taken flack at different times for being too old and being, slow and falling off cliffs. And I think that even though Brady's heard it a lot and plenty, I think Gronk has heard it maybe more than anybody. Right. A lot of people have kind of just put the nail in the coffin with Gronk, whereas with Brady, it's kind of like a debate still, has he or hasn't he? With Gronk, everybody's just kind of like, he's done, he's cooked. And in this game, he caught the big 25-yarder on the sideline over Eric Berry. Then he caught the big third down pass in overtime on the 3rd and 10. The end of that drive to set up the touchdown. He looked like a guy that, you know, was answering a lot of doubters in that game as well. But just talk about this, the clutchness of these three guys, all the 3rd and 10s. I mean,
oh,
when you needed it, it's like 3rd in the Super Bowl, and these guys are just right there to pick it up
every single time.
Yeah,
you know, it's just I guess it speaks again to the trust Brady has with both of those guys.
Yeah.
If he still has that trust in those guys, then it doesn't matter what anybody thinks about how physically they've dropped off here or there, because they're still getting open. They're still making catches. And in some cases they might not be open and still be making the catches. So it's one of those deals where, especially with Edelman, like, you know, I still don't see a situation where it's 3rd and long or anything like that, and it heads his way, and I don't think he's going to make the catch. I feel like, you know, he's still going to be there, you know. And Gronkowski, you know, all right, so maybe he doesn't have the 100% steps that he used to have. Well, even if he's at 85, he's still able to do a lot of amazing things out there. So it's just amazing to me to see how these guys continue, even with the attention of the other defenses that get put on them, to still be able to make the plays that they do when they do. You know, in certain downs and distances and times of the game where the ball is going to go, and they were still able to come through against Kansas City. And I think,
no, can't stop it.
Yeah, it was a pretty incredible performance. And I think, you know, pretty inspiring to see too, if you're a fan, you know, that, like, you know, after all of those guys have been through, it's been a trying year in terms of, you know, Edelman was off the field for a while, and then, you know, Gronkowski had those games where he just sort of disappeared. For them to come back and show everybody that, yeah, you know, when we're needed, you know, we can still do the job. I mean, that's just impressive. And, you know, I don't know how you can look at that and say it's not a, you know, a huge thing for their careers. That they may, the, you know, both of those guys, Edelman and Gronkowski, at some points in their careers have been better players, okay? But, you know, have they been, have there been stuff that's been as satisfying as last week's game? It'd be hard-pressed for me to say that there's been more satisfying type performances given all those, you know, factors.
Yeah, well said. And with Edelman, I think one of the bigger things too, just watching the tape with Gronk, a lot of his catches were just, I'm better than you. Like, man on man, you know, I'm just going to beat you to the spot here. And not that Edelman wasn't fantastic in that regard too, but a lot of the things that I saw that the Patriots doing were a lot of pre-snap motion with Edelman. And when you pre-snap motion a guy, especially when you motion him into those stacks with Dorsett, it's very difficult to press him. Like, you can't jam him because you're behind the eight ball. He's motioning across the formation. He sets for half a second, and then the ball is snapped. And those are getting him all these free releases at the line of scrimmage. And once Edelman's the type of guy that if you get a free release for him off the line, it's over. You know, he's going to beat anybody in man-to-man coverage if he's not getting beat up within the route stem. So that's a big part of it. The other thing is just Brady in that fourth quarter and overtime. That is as quick and as decisive as I've seen him really all season, and probably going back to last year's playoffs, where he's seeing it pre-snap, but then he's also confirming it post-snap within two and a half seconds of the ball being snapped. And he's just reading the safety. The poor safety, Daniel Sorensen of the Chiefs, just, it wasn't his fault, but if he went to the outside to shade to Gronk, the ball was going over the middle. When he went inside to shade to Edelman, the ball was going outside to Gronk, and the decision-making was just so quick. And that was really, you know, you're seeing him step into throws. You're seeing him, you know, throw a zip. You're seeing him be decisive in the pocket, reading the whole field. There was really only one or two passes where you could have gripes with them, you know. Obviously, the pick in the end zone was a bad one. And then there was one throw that he forced to Gronkowski over the middle in the third quarter. Other than that, I mean, it was like a perfect game. from a quarterbacking standpoint, from ball placement to velocity to decision making. that if Brady plays like that, you know, the Patriots are really, really hard to beat. And I know he played like that in the Super Bowl last year and they lost, but that took some extenuating circumstances for them for it to get to that point. So if that's how those three guys, if Brady, Gronk, and Edelman are going to play at that level in the Super Bowl, I mean, I'll take them against anybody.
You at a certain point, well, I feel like this team just started executing at another level in the Chargers game, and they just haven't stopped.
Yeah, I think that's why so many people feel good about them in the Super Bowl. I think a lot of people down at Gillette, you know, a lot of the other beat writers are kind of saying, like, why are people overlooking the Rams? And I don't think people are overlooking the Rams. I just think if you go into Arrowhead Stadium and you beat the number one seed on their home turf in a really, really good Chiefs game, a team, and you execute at that level, and then you blow the doors off of a 12-4 Chargers team, it's hard not to feel good about the team right now.
Yeah. It's a level of execution that we haven't seen all year, really. You know, and they're doing it against the best opponents that they've played all year.
Yeah,
I think, you know, Patriots fans have a lot of reasons to be confident.
All right. Well, we just went for over an hour on the Super Bowl and the AFC Championship game, which is old school us,
I guess.
Yeah, it's old school us. So that's a good news. Adam, what do you got? What are you doing these days?
Well, tomorrow the Senior Bowl is happening, so I'll be watching that.
You can watch future Patriot Hunter Renfro.
Right. Or future Patriot, you know, any of these guys. The guy from UMass that's there that is bringing a lot of attention lately is Andy Isabella, the wide receiver. He's really good in the slot. He's also played on the outside at UMass as well. He's somebody that is training with Randy Moss. I don't know if you've seen that. He's super fast. He's also exceptional route runner. He's drawn a lot of praise this week. I want to see how he plays in the game. BC has four guys there. They have Will Harris, a safety, who's very physical. Tommy Sweeney is a very good run blocking and receiving tight end. Defensive end Zach Allen, who's one of the best edge guys in this class. I'm forgetting. Oh, and Chris Lindstrom, offensive guard, who is one of the, I think, maybe the highest graded guard by PFF this past season, or at least one of them. And he's from Shepherd Hill High School in Massachusetts. Shout out to Shepherd Hill. And so all those guys are guys I'm going to be concentrating on for Mass Varsity. And there's just a lot of talent in general down there. If you're looking for defensive line and edge prospects, there's plenty. So you should turn on the TV and check that out tomorrow.
Yeah, it's a big Senior Bowl. The Patriots have 12 draft picks in the draft next year. Yeah. So there's probably a good chance that one of these guys might end up on the Patriots. You look at the quarterbacks too. Drew Lock obviously is there. Jared Stidham is there. And who's that?
Will Greer.
Will Greer, of course. I gotta forget Will Greer. Daniel Jones from Duke. Yeah. A lot of people like pro style quarterback. He's there as well. So a lot of really good quarterbacks to watch. The guy that I saw that was lighting up a lot of the position drills was Deebo Samuel from South Carolina, who is the number one trait that they have for him on Draft Network is competitive toughness. And when you hear that, I'm like, all right, well, that's interesting. Yeah, right? Exactly. You know, a guy that's going to battle and that type of guy. That's when you ask Bill Belichick his number one takeaway about Julian Edelman, it's not his route running ability or his yards after the catch. It's competitive toughness. It's his ability to, you know, go over the middle and put his nose in on every play and block in the running game. And you got a receiver like that, then that's always somebody to look for. Obviously, Hunter Renfro is a big Patriot name. Andy Isabella is probably going to be a big Patriot name as well. But check out Deebo Samuel. I think he's going to be a guy that is going to be talked about a lot over the next couple of months as rising up some draft boards. At clnsmedia.com, we are headed to the Super Bowl. I will be there on Monday, and we'll be there all week covering things from Patriots media availability to Radio Row to the press conference with Tony Romo and Adam Levine and all that good stuff, the fun stuff, the football stuff, And then obviously we'll be at the game on Sunday, which I'm obviously very excited for, both as a fan, but also just to cover my first Super Bowl is pretty surreal. So that's going to be really cool. And yeah, we'll be there all week. We're going to do a lot of, we're going to blow it out. We're going to do a lot of videos, a lot of stuff like that. And Adam and I will obviously be back next week as well with a big Super Bowl preview, more in-depth stuff than what we did today, hopefully, and really break down this matchup and spend an hour and a half on that instead of what we did tonight, just a little bit of half and half. And then after that, we'll be back the following week after the Super Bowl, I'm sure, breaking down the Super Bowl, win or lose. We'll break down what went wrong or what went well. For the Patriots, hopefully another Patriots Super Bowl, number 9 for Brady and Belichick, obviously appearance-wise, hopefully number 6 championship-wise as well. And Adam, it's pretty good to be covering the Patriots time in history. It doesn't stink, trips to the Super Bowl and stuff. And then obviously, I also want to mention before we sign off, I know we're really going long here, but we're going to be blowing out the NFL draft here on the Patriots All 22 podcast.
Big time.
Right after the Super Bowl. We're going to get right into the draft and look at every position group from a Patriots perspective, solely quarterbacks, running backs, even wide receivers, all the way down the line. Guys that we think are fits for New England. We're not talking about who's going to go number one overall because the Patriots aren't picking number one overall. So it's going to be all Patriot centric stuff. So that's going to be really awesome. We have a lot of guests that we are going to have on to help us break down position groups as well. So make sure to be on the lookout for that if you're into draft stuff. And we'll hit on some free agency, I'm sure, as well that week when free agency is going on in March. But until then, signing off. For Adam Kirchin, I'm Evan Lazar. Thanks for listening.